This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Arielle Marom, who's a Los Angeles native sculptor and non-binary woman in the material science realm. Arielle, welcome to this show. I'm so thrilled to have you.
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you for that lovely intro.
Oh my God, sculptor? Okay, before we get into how and why, I just want to dive into a little bit about the inspiration behind it. At what point did you know that sculpting was your thing?
I think that's a great question. I think I was something like 5 years old when I was probably looking at a thing very close to my face. And I said, like, what, how did they make this? But you know, when you kind of really just, you're staring at it to try to figure out what actually is part of the thing itself. And probably from then on, I was in the garage always trying to make something look like it came from the store. That was when I learned how to kind of eyeball something that's going to be resulting like what I think it looks like.
Incredible. So what were some of the steps that you took towards making this a reality?
That's a great question. Like, so to make being able to sculpt the reality, like how far back do you want me to go
from? Oh, as far back. I actually, the minute that you just knew that this was it, this is what you wanted to do for a living.
Yeah, I think it was sometime like teenage years when I was starting to hatch plans in my head how I could do something at home and not get in trouble for doing it. You know, when you have like a project that's pretty long and you want to plan out for it and you're like, all right, so what exactly can I bring? I can collect it and put it in the garage and then I can do it on a Saturday when everybody is doing their thing. And so that's when I kind of realized that I kind of was making space for that in my life.
Okay, so I'm going to go back a little bit further to what was your parents' reaction like when you told them you want to become a sculptor?
You know, it's so interesting. My parents actually, they come from stone and masonry and tile work commercially. So my interest in materials, like I can work with any materials, but I actually love stone a lot. So I think that there was some overlap there and they were like, oh, that kind of makes sense. We're really proud of you. But also it was just like, are you sure you're a woman? It's construction. You know, things can be difficult. It was the narrative that was then. And I was not really thinking of it as anything more than like visually I saw a shape and I was really interested, more intrigued to learn how to make it look that way. So like, for instance, this here is a shape that I've been obsessed with. That's nearly on all my things. It's inspired by a sculptor by the name of Umberto Boccioni. And it's just like one of these things that like it talks to me, you know what I'm saying? Like when I see it, I'm just like, yeah, I like it. And I've been working with this shape already for like 3 years. So to do with getting time to figure out how to become really good at something with different materials and stuff, my parents kind of, they kind of understand why I love stonework as well.
Interesting. So when you said it took you a while to work with this shape, so what do you do? Just use different materials and just do the same shape over and over? Is that?
So there's plaster reproduction, there's resin printing, there's sculpting, like actual carving the shape out of a block of stone. And I've done all three of those to do with what that was just there. That was plaster as a reproduction, since I was learning how to mold make for like the interest of what it would look like if it had a transparent material. So like this here is a 3D print of a similar kind of inspiration. And you see that the material kind of like, you can see some light pass through it and pass through it. Beautiful. So that's kind of where the intrigue came from, is like similar shape, but transformed into something that's completely like different. And these kinds of things, like I can spend years just like being quite fixated on getting it right.
Wow. It's crazy though, how what's right or wrong for you probably is invisible to me. Like to me, that's just perfect.
Thank you.
No, but for someone like you, you're just like, it's interesting. Tell me a little bit about how you tie philosophy into all of this. And that's what really inspired me to invite you to be interviewed on the show, because, you know, I think sculpting is, you know, most artists are pretty intelligent and creative, but philosophy is something I've never seen artists kind of tie in their art form with. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I could see there being like a little bit of fear of being a little bit political or anything like that, but I took like a really general hands-off kind of philosophy where I said, what I'm delivering here is like the desire of being found by something that you feel like belongs to you. So like when you want to go and touch the sculpture because you see it and you're like, wow, that's for me. I kind of feel like that level of, it's almost like inventiveness of when is it that moment that I actually come to admire and work with something that has kept me, and I'm going off here a little bit because it's kept me interested in learning all sorts of model making in general. So it's all practical. It comes a little bit from a construction background, but it also comes from a storytelling background where the main interest or intrigue in a piece for philosophy has sometimes to do with like what it took to get a piece of stone or what was popular during the time, like whether or not accelerating things and being industrial, what was going on, or was everything handmade like one by one? So I get a lot of different questions on philosophy as to whether or not it's like a community thing. Am I the person that makes them alone? What does it mean? And I was just like, it's just like when you meet the thing that you love doing over and over and you can deliver like an emotional statement with it, that's really what I've come to discover or uncover that is what I like to do.
So speaking of delivering emotional statement, how do you make sure that your sculptures deliver that to your customers, to your, I guess, people that purchase the sculpting ultimately?
Well, I don't know. Did you just ask me if I can guarantee like an elicited?
No. What's your hope? Like, for example, you know, I own a health and wellness brand, and I really, my mission with that product is to add relief to their routine. That's really my mission. Right. And every time, you know, whether we're in the factory making something or we're, you know, putting together a workshop, our mission is always in our minds.
Right. That's a beautiful way to put that.
Yeah. Remembering what we're here for, what is our goal, you know? So I would love to know if you have a mission, that would be interesting to learn about.
Right. Well, I want everyone to feel that they can express themselves creatively through sculpture. So I've gone and made something that's very, very simple, because I mean, I could teach a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old to be interested in actually making the thing. It's not the same as like when you hand somebody like, here's some clay, like make something, like make a pinch pot with your hands at like a class with friends. It's more like really engaging with it. We're going to try to make a specific shape. And this shape comes from Italy in the early 15th century. And the person who would, like, you don't have to talk about every single like bullet point of what has been put into it. Cause ultimately it's the excitement is to make it so that many, many people can sculpt. Like when you see something, like I'll give you an example, like a young adult that has like a pair of bicycle that they want to have it a different color than what they already have it, because they feel like they've transitioned from one period of time to another. Like, do you know how to tape everything off and take some patient look at it and decide like what color you want it to be? Or do you have to ask a friend to help you out? Mm-hmm. And so my philosophy is that it'd be simple enough to be able to figure it out alone, and to be able to enjoy it, but also to be able to show it to somebody else, you know? Did that kind of answer the question?
Absolutely. I love that. I love that a lot. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when you first started out, what were some of the first steps you took? I guess, what was the strategy that you had to strategize and think about? Like, how am I gonna monetize this? Or am I gonna just do this for fun? Or like, you know, how did you make those decisions?
Yeah, pricing is like a community effort. So this is something nobody tells you. And this is like one of those things where like, I'm still finding out about it yesterday. And I know tomorrow I'll have another call. where it's just like to monetize something is a group effort. Yeah. I had once looked at something and I said, well, I think it needs to cost this much money because it cost me this much in supplies and this much in storage space. And then some other time I figured out how to make the sculpture a little bit more quick by adding an ingredient. And then I said, okay, well, now it needs to cost this much because my time actually has been evaluated better for when I put that shortening agent in it. And what there is to learn from that is that, like, I'm still working on what's important, like what's a priority. For instance, like to be able to get insurance, and you go like, that's not what you think of when you think of art, but it is what you think of with every business. It's like, who's my client? Who's my third party? Who's my person that's benefiting from this, but is not me? Like, so that I can figure out how to deliver something to somebody in a way that's like appropriate in many, many ways. So that's something that I learn sometimes in tandem with, and sometimes like completely different months in my life. I don't learn it all in the same months. I like, you know, maybe 1 month I learn like 5 new things about metal. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Ariel, what do you do with metal? It doesn't really matter. I swear to you, like in a week or two from then, I'm going to have somebody teach me something else that makes it applicable.
That's incredible. So speaking of target audience, who is your target audience?
Well, my target audience right now, my understanding is that it's my family, it's my friends, it's patrons who are interested in what it is that I do and kind of want to get the message in a little bit of a zip. So it's like you asked about philosophy. And it's just like, it was a little bit tongue in cheek on my website, but to address it on the nose, it was like, the idea is we deliver. You can buy a product from us. It's the same shape that you imagine, but it can be made out of anything. Like this, I can make this out of wood. I can make this out of some kind of colored clay. I can paint it. I can make it into porcelain. I can do a whole bunch of things that, or I can make it out of this material, resin. And the idea is just to say like, hi, I'm available for hire as an artist. You don't necessarily have to interact with me through the website. You don't necessarily have to do any of the things that you think are typical, but ultimately to be able to keep doing what I do need to have some sort of patron who's in my audience, who's in my corner saying like, wow, that's so cool that you're doing that. Wow, that's so cool. Last time I talked to you, you were doing this and I can see how that happened now. Like those are the best conversations for me that I have is when someone has like been able to track what it is that I've learned since say 2 years ago and 5 years ago and 10 years ago, which is like essentially how long my career has been so far is something like 10 years, give or take like 5 more for being a teenager.
I do agree that there's, you know, in terms of whether you're promoting a product or a service, marketing has shifted tremendously where now it's really about the person behind the company, their story, and how people can resonate with them. And almost, I think because everything has gotten so noisy, especially after the pandemic.
You feel that?
People are looking for, you know, more deeper stories. They want to know, who's the sculptor behind this sculpting, right? Like they want to know. And I think to your point, you know, it's important, like for you in your profession, it's important to get the feedback, but I think that's the future of every entrepreneur, every business owner.
Right. It's like an open kitchen. Who is that? What's going on in there? Kind of.
And people sometimes forget about that, you know, if you look at some of the most successful businesses, the ones that listen to their customers, the ones that ask the questions to their customers are the most successful ones. Because, you know, anytime someone who's creating something and they're only thinking of themselves as they're creating it, the chances are, you know, yes, you're solving your own problem, but just seek out and ask. It's not that hard. And I don't know why a lot of business owners are scared to do that, but it's so fascinating to me to hear that, you know, that's how you basically operate, which is fascinating because that's like the, in my opinion, is the secret to any business. If they want to succeed, that is the secret. Just, you know, build a community and start listening to your community, run ideas by them. You know, it doesn't always need to be transactional.
Yeah, that's the best way to summarize it, really, because I have mentors, like people like my mom, who are in commercial business. And she's like, well, you know, you want to know what the number is about, you want to know what the pricing is about. And then you have people like Ariel Bryce, who taught me how to make molds. He's like a professor from Art Center that I took a workshop with, who's so well studied in mold making. It's just like has studied with the masters, the greats in China. And it's just like, so here in LA, I feel like most people don't know where their furniture sensibilities come from. So like, if I were to ask you, where does your sensibility, not your sense of style or fashion, but your sensibility throughout the day, like what's that vibe or what's that thing that you feel like you're gravitated towards? And like, how come that's not something that we know about where it comes from? Like say, well, actually, no, I want to ask you a question. What is your sensibility?
God, I've never thought about that. Give me an example as to how I would think about sensibility.
Well, that's a great question. It's just like, what is something that if you closed your eyes, you're like aware of, like I'm aware of temperature and not necessarily smell right off the bat. I just go like, it's kind of warm and I feel like nothingness, but I also feel like I feel the heaviness of my body. So I feel like airy and light, but it's stagnant. Then I'd go like, well, is that something that you like, or is something that you don't like, to do with sculptures? I decide based off of like what the material is. So if it's a large piece of stone next to me and I felt like this, but it was nice and cold, I'd say like, wow, I think this is the right size, or I need it to be smaller or larger, or something like that. Like a sensibility, like something that you can understand, but guides you kind of to maneuver.
Oh, interesting. I just closed my eyes and I tried to feel it. It was a lot of mixed things I was seeing.
Go for it. No, yeah, take your time.
I'll work on it. I think it was definitely airy and no, it's interesting. I need to practice probably a few times before I can explain what I was. So it's what I'm seeing and feeling.
Yeah. What are you sensing? Like, what are you, God, what's about you?
Yeah. I think it was like, almost like this fluffy feeling around me, like almost like, you know, like when you're in the clouds and you're kind of, or I mean, that sounded weird, like when you're in the clouds, but like almost like I'm surrounded by cotton balls, like just feeling really cozy and comfortable. That's the kind of God. I don't know.
Weird. That's the sensibility. Do you have that like throughout your life, that you feel cozy, comfortable with your things and your things?
That's a great question. If I'm around plants and trees, I feel that way. If I'm in an office setting where there's absolutely no plants or trees or anything that's just connected to the earth.
Yeah.
I feel very, I can't explain it to you. I feel like I'm in a box. I feel suffocated. So right now, as you could see my background, there's this beautiful tree that I'm just obsessed with. I am a little bit of a tree hugger. So, and I think the tree is what kind of gives me that comforting and kind of, I can't, like, fluffy feeling. I don't know how to explain, but I think it's like, for me, my go-to place when I need to just relax, or it's usually either by being next to plants or just simply being outdoors and just either touching a tree or sitting under a tree or just being around nature.
That's lovely. You know, that's something else that reminds me, when I need to learn something, I actually have to write it down. So what I wrote down, just like being next to plants, like I have to write things over so that I can actually process them. And that's not something anybody ever told me, to be able to have like a successful conversation or a business or like a practice, that it's like, hey, sculpting has been yeah, exactly.
I mean, look, I don't go anywhere without my notebook. Anywhere, even my interview, when I do my interviews, I take notes, because sometimes when I do want it to stick and be processed, I have to visually see it, and writing it is my form. So I can relate to that.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.